Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Busy show today. Because on Tuesdays, we always have, we got Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. We got that every day. And then we got a Fish on Friday on Tuesday. That happens every Tuesday. Our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman, will join us in the second hour. But today, also, we got Trey Wingo is going to join us. In the next segment, Trey Wingo is now with DraftKings, where he does a podcast. Obviously, longtime ESPN anchor, and now with DraftKings. And so he is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk to him about all things, all sorts of things. I worked with his dad. His dad, to say worked with, is a big stretch. But his dad was Hal Wingo, who was an executive at People Magazine. And one of my college summers, I interned at People Magazine. So I worked with his dad. That counts, right?
Totally.
That counts. At People Magazine, I was a fact checker.
Mm.
And what you do as a fact checker is you get the story, and on every single story, you have to confirm, and I don't know if they still do this. Does People Magazine still exist as a magazine?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
it's definitely an online publication.
It's certainly an online publication.
Pretty sure,
and I bet it still exists.
I'm pretty sure it's
still
a magazine.
People. You'd put a little line or a dot or whatever over every single fact. Like, one fact I had to check was Barbara Eden, who was in the show I Dream a Genie, which you probably don't.
Of course I did. I Nick and I. Come on.
Okay, so I Dream a Genie. The fact was Barbara Eden never showed her navel in I Dream of Genie because she wore that little genie outfit, right? And I don't honestly remember if that was
factual or not.
If that's a true fact, if I confirmed that it was true or not true.
Did you have to like go through every episode of
I Dream of Genie? I think if you confirm it with some sources that say this is true. Maybe with the producers or something like that. I don't know how exactly I confirmed that fact. I did write one bylined story for People Magazine. And it was on a guy named Peter Billingsley, who at the time was Messy Marvin, was a chocolate syrup commercial. Messy Marvin was in a chocolate in a Hershey syrup commercial, and that's how he became known.
He was not a soccer player.
No, and then he actually, Peter Billingsley, I think, grew up and had a real acting career. But I interviewed him I went to some park in New York and his parents and whatever, and we did a story on Messy Marvin. He was then in and you must remember this really high rated film, Maserati and the Brain.
Who could forget?
But then I think he grew up and had an actual acting career, and that's my one little byline story in People Magazine. So there you go. Anyway, Trey Wingo carved out a nice career on his own over at ESPN. We'll talk to him about the NFL and other matters. So that's a lineup. We got Trey Wingo, then we got Chris Harrington, then we got Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. But it is NBA night. The NBA returns, Jeffrey. Tonight we got a doubleheader. Knicks and Celtics. T-Wolves and Lakers. We got Bronny.
Yeah.
We got Bronny's going to play. The Griffies will be there to watch.
Saw that.
That was kind of interesting. You know, you could have brought, I mean, you could have brought all kinds of father-son combinations by, right? I don't think, like, John and John Quincy Adams no longer available.
Probably not available.
Tell me what, is there, you know, you're British and French and whatever history. Is there a, because I was thinking of father's sons who've done pretty well, right? Like Martin and Charlie Sheen, they've done pretty well. They did pretty well.
Just going to leave Emilio out of this?
And Emilio out of this. And then, that's true. You're right. You're right. Will and Jaden Smith,
mm-hmm.
They could be.
Are we able to bring Will back?
We could have,
he's back?
Yeah. Okay. George Bush?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with H.W. passing.
Yes, so you can't have...
Correct.
You can have the two brothers. You can have the brothers, but you can't have the father and son.
That's not...
No, that doesn't do it.
That's a lot of low energy there.
That doesn't do it. Other famous fathers...
I mean, the Mannings.
Oh, the first family.
Correct.
The first family of American football. You could have Archie and Peyton there. Now, of course, these people didn't play together. The Griffies...
Yes, that's... Well,
did the Griffies play together? No.
So senior. So senior and junior played together, and they had back-to-back home runs in a game. I believe that was seniors last year. When I read it, I took it as junior and Trey were going to be there. I did not read it as
no. It's senior and junior are going to be there.
Well, that would make way more sense than my idea because yes. Trey just played football at Arizona.
Yes. No, that wouldn't be the same. That wouldn't be anything close to the same.
Correct.
So we're going to get Bronny. He's going to get minutes, isn't he?
I mean, yes, right?
He's going to get minutes just for the moment of history, right? Then you can be done with it. And so Bronny is going to play actual minutes. And
fairy tale.
I think, let's be honest, Nick Celtics is fascinating.
I totally agree.
Nick Celtics is fascinating. Because
we get to decide night one whether or not we think the Knicks can actually be
a true competitor
to the Celtics.
And of course, we will not get the answer in night one. But
yes, we will.
But we got the T-Wolves and the Lakers the second game. So the NBA is back. Does it feel premature to you? What's weird to me is the return of the NBA feels a little early to me. The return of the Grizzlies just in time. You know what I mean? Like
more of like a we need it.
Yeah, we need it. I'm ready. Kind of I am ready for the Grizzlies.
I've always thought anything before Halloween felt too early for basketball, but I just kind of accept
I'm
that's
ready
where
for the Grizzlies.
I accept that's where it's going.
Ready for the Grizzlies. In terms of the Grizzlies, though.
Hope you weren't ready for Jaren.
We have some bad news. No Jaren in the opener. Appears like no Luke Kennard in the opener. We aren't going to get Jaren Jr. or Sr.
Correct.
In the opener. And no Luke Kennard, it appears. I don't think that's been official. But then we know no GG, no Vince Williams.
Right.
I'll be honest, that's a bummer. When I saw that yesterday, I'm like, oh, hell. I made my peace with the whole preseason thing. I made my peace with, all right, well, you're missing some of the bench. You know, Vince is the one that bothers me the most there, but whatever, you're missing some of the bench. Vince could have been a starter.
Yeah. I think it would have been unlikely, but it was very much possible.
And maybe would have emerged as the most important player off the bench if he came off the bench. So I struggled a little bit with that one, but I'm like, you're like, okay, you know what? We're going to get the starters. For the first time in forever, we're going to have the five starters. You're going to be able to see Ja and Dez and Jaren and Zach Edey. You're going to get what they're going to look like together, right? Like we are going to, and Marcus Smart, of course, and you're going to see them all out there and see how it fits with the thing that we never saw, obviously with Zach Edey in the place of Steven Adams. And now we don't get that.
Well, I was trying to go back. When is the last season opener that the Grizzlies had their presumptive, their expected starting lineup on opening night?
Well, wouldn't it have been 2 years ago?
Well, no, because wasn't that the year Jaren was out for the very early part?
I lose track. Yeah, now you're asking me a question, then I totally lose track. When is the last time on opening night the Grizzlies had their presumptive starting lineup? Anyway, it's a bummer to me. And then they play. So they play tomorrow night.
And then Friday.
In Utah. But then they play a back. Then they play back to back. They play Friday in Houston and then Orlando here. So I think we can go ahead and assume pretty safely that Jaren's not going to play both nights of a back to back. Right?
I think so, too.
And so it appears, at least hopefully, that we'll get Jaren at home against Orlando. Isn't that what you would imagine?
I think it felt like most people said it was trending towards he's playing this weekend. So the home opener would be
up the Grizzlies' schedule. You know, once upon a time, we did the W's and L's for the first 10 games.
As you're expected to do.
As not just expected, mandated.
Correct.
As an American, you're supposed to do that. And I think we came out with 8-2. Didn't we? Something very exuberantly optimistic.
All right, I'm ready.
And I'll be honest. This preseason has not inspired greater hope in me. It's not smashed the hope I have like the Steven Adams injury did.
Yeah, this is nowhere near the Sunday gut punch of last year.
Nowhere near that. Here we have this was a Monday.
Yeah.
A little bump on the shoulder, not a Sunday gut punch, right?
Yeah.
But I don't feel any different about the long term prospects of this team over the course of the season than I did heading into the preseason, right?
Yeah, I think what we're really discovering is this is an us problem right now because we are so desperate to watch this team that we're sitting there kind of bemoaning that.
And we want them off to, we also want a strong start. We like everything. It's like, let's erase this. We want a Mario Anderson kind of night, you know? Ejected for spitting one night, comes back and scores 4 touchdowns the next
Absolutely.
Week, right? We want that kind of bounce back. And I don't know if we're going to get it. So now we're going to do with this understanding the somewhat diminished lineup, we're going to do the W's and L's for the first 10 games. And we'll just do it according to the point spread. What we think the point spread will be. We'll pick them. Whatever. We can argue with it. Go ahead. Let's go.
All right. They're going to be favored tomorrow night.
I'll give them Okay, so Utah's a W.
All right, I think they're going to be slight dogs on Friday.
I think you got to call that a loss, right?
Yep.
A loss to Houston. Yeah.
I think they're going to be favored slightly on Saturday.
We'll call the win over Orlando. Okay.
They'll be favored against the Bulls.
You got to tell me where these roads are.
Sorry.
Because then you get Bulls at home. So now they're 3-1. Yeah.
Home favored against the Nets.
Okay. It is a nice schedule, isn't it?
Yes.
4-1.
So on Thursday at home, they host the Bucks. The Bucks have injury questions. I'm going to say...
Give them another.
I'm going to say they'll be slight favorites in that game.
I'm giving them another. Go ahead.
All right. At Philly.
I mean, because we gave them the win over Orlando.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Oh, at Philly. That's an L.
Yep.
That's 4-3.
At Brooklyn.
That's a W.
Lakers at home.
That's a W.
Wizards at home.
It's still 7-3.
Still a really nice start.
It is soft.
Now, it was a soft start last year, too.
That is a freaking soft schedule. Anything less than 7-3 would be disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the travel stuff in front of me at this time.
Remember last
year? I mean, last year we knew they had the Wizards in the first week, but we didn't do the math that the Wizards game was going to be the Grizzlies on the second night of a back to back.
Remember last year at this time, we were very quickly into the.
Would you like
to lock in?
Yeah,
whatever it was, 25 games.
I stand by my math.
Would you like to lock in?
I think you were giving. I think you were giving me 12-13, but I stand by the math.
And you did not do it. Okay, right now, Jeffrey, first 10, I will give you the opportunity to, different offer. I will give you the opportunity to lock in 6-4. No risk. 6-4 and no further injuries. You get to have that after 10.
No injuries really makes it spicy.
We'll take that away. You get to lock in 6-4.
I'm sticking my principles.
I wouldn't either.
This isn't a tough schedule to start.
I don't see how they can go worse than 7-3.
Well, if they're bad, they can.
If
they keep turning it over 30 times a game.
Well, that's the thing. So we got the adjustment. We got the rookie center.
Yeah.
We got the adjustment to the new offense.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the freaking injuries. All of that. Okay, let me ask you this. What record in those first 10 would have people saying two things? What record in those first 10 would have national people saying, my God, the Grizzlies are back? And what record in the first 10 would have callers to this show in large number saying, Taylor's got to go?
I think an 8-2 start.
Just eight and two.
Yep.
Because they won't realize they won't see the soft schedule.
Correct.
They'll just see 8-2.
Right.
And Ja will be good.
Yeah.
And at 8-2, they will be close to the
they'll
top of the
highlights
West.
Highlights and stuff.
Close to the top of the West. Yep. And everyone will be saying the Grizzlies are back. Okay.
Right.
Let me ask you this: What would have? And I'm not saying it with management. I'm saying Grizz fans are like, holy crap! I haven't liked Taylor all along. He's overrated, and now it's just this isn't working.
So my gut instinct was 4-6. Anything sub .500.
I think that's right.
Because I was thinking right. 5-5. There's a lot of people that seem like, they didn't have Jaren. Like,
yeah, no, 5-5, yeah.
Yeah, like
they'll be grumbling.
But anything sub .500.
4-6 against that schedule.
We are simple as human beings. When we just start to see one side have
more.
Correct.
More than the other
right.
side.
And it's not the side we want to have more.
Well, and if that
causes a reaction.
And if you're doing that, you've lost to the Wizards, or you've lost to the Bulls, or you've lost to some.
Maybe had a Nets loss in there.
Maybe had a Nets loss. You've lost to some bad teams. Like the only teams that are good that they're playing in that first 10 that we could excuse, really, like that are good, are Houston, maybe.
Yep.
Milwaukee, certainly.
Yep. I think you got to put Orlando in there.
Orlando? Oh, yeah. Orlando, Milwaukee. The Lakers, again, we'll say losses that don't look like egregious. Who else?
Philly.
Philly, that's five.
And so that means you will have lost.
That's five.
To, so correct. That means you will have lost to one of these teams, likely. The Wizards, the Bulls, the Jazz, and the Nets.
And you would have lost all the teams I just mentioned.
Correct.
All the good, the arguably good teams.
Yes.
And
one of those.
One of the bad teams.
One of the
at four and six we will be in, if not full scale panic, like holy crap, what is going wrong?
We're gonna need some answers.
We're gonna need some therapy.
Yeah. Well, no, we're gonna be pointing the finger at that point. Therapy comes later. You know what I mean? Like at that point it's just pure rage.
Should Memphis fans be more worried about the state of Jaren? And his hammy,
okay,
or the state of Tyreek Smith and his enthusiasm for the Memphis basketball program.
So I'm
assuming the interest in those two teams is equal,
right?
And stuff.
Right.
Whatever.
I'm still saying Jaren, and it's not because I think that this injury is of some tremendous great concern. It's primarily because, like, I don't know. Like Tyreek always felt to me like depth more than just like this is going to be like one of the guys that you cannot be without.
Yes.
And Jaren is obviously one of the guys, the Grizzlies.
But I'm not really worried about a hamstring, are you? Which is more worrisome, a hamstring or an? These are very similar injuries. They can hang around for a while. They can pop up. They can hang around for a while. But both the NIL. Delivery system and the hamstring.
I guess I'm kind of in a similar spot because it feels to me like they're at least trying to get something done. And it happened before the season started, which tells me the timing was
very similar injuries, really.
Correct.
So Boog Knight is the longtime coach, agent type figure, but not an agent, who is associated with Tyreek Smith. And he went on social media yesterday, posted videos saying this is not a penny issue. He's cleaning up issues that others for other folks. He said the FedEx people have come through. Good to know, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
We called that yesterday.
Yeah, they always. The check always clears there.
Yeah, we knew the check cleared there, would clear there. But if it's not a penny issue, and it's not a FedEx issue, And by the way, he said it's not a playing time starting issue, right? What do we think it is?
To me, it's the old I was promised things that weren't in writing on recruiting trail, and I haven't gotten that.
This ain't on Coach Penny Hardaway. So you've got Coach Penny out here trying to clean up messes that he didn't help make, and I respect him for that. But at the end of the day, there were other things discussed that didn't happen.
There we go.
That aren't happening at the moment that we're trying to work out. He never told Coach Penny he was leaving, so whoever put that article about him leaving, he never said that. But basically, yeah. There were other things. It is funny. That listen to that sentence. There were other things discussed that didn't happen that aren't happening at the moment that we're trying to work out. That could literally be a sentence straight out of the UNLV dispute, right?
100%.
There were other things that were discussed. Didn't say they were written down.
Right.
There were other things.
If there were a contract, it would have been presented.
There were other things that were discussed that didn't happen that aren't happening at the moment. Here's the question I have for you. What is a coach's, and I asked Jason and John this when I was on with them yesterday, what is a coach's responsibility? In other words, he's absolving Penny, right? Whether you're an NCAA football coach or basketball coach or volleyball coach for that matter, is it part of your job to make sure that all the NIL ducks are in a row, that people are getting paid who are supposed to be paid, that representations are being made that are being followed through on? And whether that's true about Barry Odom at Las Vegas at UNLV or Penny here.
So this is not a cop-out. This is my actual opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're legally allowed to do. So in general, I agree with the premise. The head coach is the GM, the program, whatnot. The head coach is in charge of the roster. So in general, I agree that you should probably be on top of that. With that said, there's so many intricacies of how you can and can't do things, because what we are doing is pay for play, but we can't come out and say it's pay for play. So there's technicalities of like, what can be offered and what not.
There is absolutely this question, what you're allowed to do. But even if you're not allowed to do it, isn't it your responsibility to do it? Now it is being suggested to me.
I mean, the problem, though, then is, like, okay, like, let's say your job is to manage it. Let's say, like, you have to keep a little bit of distance, but you got to manage it.
You got to manage it.
You got to manage it without a paper trail.
Well, it has been suggested to me that if you look at the people who are on the staff, who were on the staff, who are no longer on the staff.
Yes.
That.
And one was in charge of getting the roster.
Yeah. So what is what? Again, I'm not throwing that person on under the bus either. But what happens if it was an assistant who's now gone, who made additional representations about what Tyreek Smith would do? And Penny has whacked that assistant or member of the staff and is now discovering these representations. And that staff member was a player getter.
What if something we haven't considered really yet is also true? What if
that assistant is working behind the scenes to say, I told him, Penny, Tyreek, you're supposed to be getting that. They're screwing you over now.
I mean, that's a possibility. Also, what if the cleaning of the house was more than just trying to get, you know, Penny having a revolving door again? What if it was some things came to light that things weren't done by the book and you're trying to get in front of it?
And so Penny would be cleaning up messes. Now, mind you, to be clear, he hired everyone who has subsequently been fired. Like,
right.
That is also a mess to some extent of Penny's making, right? You know what I mean? All of this. We've said this to me. Football coach, basketball coach, NCAA, you're running the whole thing. You're picking the people. And so if those people screw up or are inferior or can't do the job or are slipshod or shady or whatever it is, you pick them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you're living, to the extent that you're living with a mess, you are in fact living with your own mess.
Yes.
And again, we're making up that it could be a mess created by one of the departed staff members.
But you're asking me like, what are things that could have led to this? And I think all those things are possible.
It sounds like it's getting done, though, right? I think with both Jaren's hammy, I'm honestly more worried about Jaren's hammy from all the reasons you discussed. First of all, I think this is indisputable at this point. The Grizzlies are more important to the Memphis Civic psyche than any other team in town.
Yes.
Do we agree?
100%.
Okay. And that's not to diminish the others, whatever else. The others are fighting to restore, like, enthusiasm and stuff, right? But just, like, one is a Colossus NBA team,
yes,
right? You know what I mean? So they are more important.
They don't fight in the same universe.
So the hamstrings over there are more important than the hamstrings anywhere else. And again, it's just true. They don't fight in the same universe. Secondly, he is not the most important player. That would be Ja. But maybe the second most important player on the team.
To me, it's not even close. He's the second.
Second most important player on the team. Thirdly, hamstrings can linger.
It's soft tissue muscle.
So you've got an incredibly important year for an incredibly important franchise with an incredibly important player who's got an injury that's, has the potential to linger. It's not even close, which is more worrisome. That is more worrisome, even though I'm not particularly worried about it. That is more worrisome. If Tyreek Smith left tomorrow, it would hurt that team. It would hurt that team. But they got Musa, they got Jordan. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be the end of the world. You know what it is? It's just a check. Like, in the end, it's just a check. And if they decide they don't want to give him the check, must not be very good.
This is where I thought it came. It 100% could be the UNLV situation.
So there you go. Fascinating stuff. We also had two NFL games last night. Are the Ravens, and we'll ask Trey Wingo this here in a moment when he joins us, are the Ravens, in fact, now? Of course, you have to officially put the Chiefs number one because they're the Super Bowl champion and they're undefeated. But are the Ravens the best team in the league right now?
I'm still saying no, even though I think, I guess if you want to make the argument, if someone this year is going to really challenge the Chiefs, your best bet might be the Ravens. I'm fine with that. The problem is,
would you have said that pre Aiden Hutchinson injury?
Yes, because I've kind of put the NFC and the AFC in their own
cat boxes.
Right. So like, I understand it's AFC one. Chiefs, right? It's a one game. Right. It's a one game situation. I mean, we're the 07 Giants better.
Power rank, top three teams.
I'm going Chiefs-Ravens-Lions.
Chiefs-Ravens-Lions. All right. We got to take a break. Trey Wingo, when we return, then Chris Harrington, then Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. Busy day today. If you've been driving around looking at, and you see real estate signs, what I've noticed is that they're sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And houses aren't moving particularly. And it's another reason to call Josh Heisa at Keller Williams Realty. 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. When you have a kind of tricky market like this, what really matters is marketing. Jody listened to me talking about Josh Heisa on this very show and called him. And literally within a week, eight offers on the house. Now, I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen to you, but Josh is that kind of aggressive marketer. The phone number, again, 901-461-8147. More than 300 five-star Google reviews, so you don't have to take my word for it. It's Josh Heisa at joshhasthebuyers.com. Trey Wingo, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Trey Wingo over at DraftKings. They launched the pregame power-up. It's hosted by Trey Wingo. Airs between every Monday night and Thursday night game from 5 to 6 Central. You can hear Wingo and the pregame power-up crew dissect the games. Trey joins me now. You know, Trey, I worked with your dad once, and I say that only very loosely. I was an intern at People Magazine, and your dad, of course, invented People Magazine. So I walked into that grand building that they had there at the Rockefeller Center, Rockefeller Plaza, and went to work every day for one summer. Kind of amazing to be the son of a guy who invented People Magazine. Trey's not there.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Yeah, there you are.
I'm here. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I lost you for a second. That's very cool. I did not know that. Yeah. My dad is a legend, and I'm trying to just do right by him in terms of the things that I've done in my career. So that's very cool that you got to work with my dad. That's great.
Only in the very loosest sense that I was. It's funny. I was telling people I fact checked. I did a story on Peter Billingsley, and someone has now reminded me that he was the kid in A Christmas Story. But I got him in the pre-Christmas Story era, my story. It was in the Messy Marvin era when Peter Billingsley was starred in a Hershey commercial. And then I fact-checked whether Barbara Eden ever showed her navel in I Dream a Genie, and someone has already sent me a photo on so that evidently she did. But, of course, he covered the Vietnam War before he covered famous people, right? I mean, your dad was a serious journalist.
Yeah, he was. He was a bureau chief for the Vietnam War. We lived in Hong Kong for 3 years. Before that, he covered, it was part of the coverage of JFK's assassination. He covered Lyndon Johnson in the White House when he was president. He went to Philadelphia, Mississippi to try to find those three civil rights workers that were killed and hidden, and that was the premise of the movie Mississippi Burning. It came out in 1989. So yeah, my dad's career was remarkable.
You know, you're right up there it's full circle because it's LeBron and Bronny tonight. So really, we got the same thing going on. Anyway, you've got Pregame Power Up is the new program, the DraftKings, that airs every Monday and Thursday before the Monday and Thursday night games. Tell me this, Trey, what's the best story in the NFL this year?
Well, there's a couple of them. I mean, obviously, when we saw what the Ravens did last night and what they're doing with the acquisition of former Tennessee Titan, Derrick Henry, is remarkable. And I think a lot of GMs are thinking, yeah, we kind of messed that up. Maybe we should have been more interested in Derrick Henry. You're seeing such an explosive situation with the way they can attack defenses. But honestly, like for me, one of my favorite stories is what's going on in Detroit. And I just love the way that team responds to their head coach. And, you know, there are three teams, really, three teams that have an identity and know who they are exactly in the NFL. That's the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, and it's the Detroit Lions. And I think there's a reason that these teams are where they are and they're playing the way they're playing, because they are all in, all tied together. And that's the beauty of football to me. It's the most team-oriented sport there is. And everybody is buying in, and I think that's a large part of why you're seeing the success of these three teams.
Well, and I it's funny, we were just talking before the break about if you power ranked the teams, who would be the top three? And you just named the top three. Do the Pittsburgh Steelers not know who they are? Obviously, they don't know always who's starting a quarterback. But do they not? Do they not have as clear as identity as anyone? It's just the personnel. The personnel can be up in the air on any given night.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. And by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, because Mike Tomlin, I don't think people in Pittsburgh really appreciate Mike, because they haven't won a playoff game in 7 years. You know, guys never had a losing season, and people don't like to hear that at Pittsburgh. But like Bill Belichick has had losing seasons. You know, Paul Brown has had losing seasons. Don Shula has had losing seasons. He's the only coach that's ever had a losing season, and people are like, well, he should win in the postseason more. Okay, fine, but let's put it in context. The Mike Tomlin era as a head coach is sandwiched between the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL, the New England Patriots from 2001 to 2019, and the next dynasty, which is Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you cannot have an honest discussion about how good of a coach Mike Tomlin is unless you put it in that proper framework. He's done it with Kenny Pickett and rotating Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. He won with Duck Hodges, okay? Like, this is a guy who has found a way, and I loved his answer when they said, why did you make the decision to go with Russell when you were 5-2 or 4-2, whatever you were, with Justin Fields? He goes, well, I'm highly compensated to make those decisions. And he turned out he was absolutely right.
The Jeffrey, our producer, is not persuaded that Russell Wilson is the answer. And I gather you were not... did not think it was the right decision heading into the game. It looked right. It looked right, and that it does feel like it raises the ceiling to some extent, or at least the theoretical ceiling for that team. But honestly, I'm not completely convinced it makes them more than a one and done playoff team either. Like he unlocked a great receiver there who had a great game, but I don't know. I remains to be seen. I don't think the jury is in yet. Do you?
No, absolutely not. And the first half was atrocious. It was awful. Like, Russell couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat in the first half. But in the second half, he got into a little bit of a rhythm. And Mike Tomlin said, I'm making this change to find out what I have. And yeah, to your point, you're right. I think if they have to go up against the Lamar Jackson-led Baltimore Ravens or the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason, they're probably going to lose. But again, we're talking about teams with superior quarterbacks. And that's normally how you win a lot of games in this league.
Talking to Trey Wingo, Pregame Power Up is the new DraftKings NFL show. Airs Monday and Thursday from 5 to 6 Central Time. I would suggest to you that maybe one of the best stories in the NFL this year is the Washington Commanders. I lived in D.C. when that franchise had a grip on that city as strong as any franchise in any city. And that has been totally peed away. And to see them actually have fun again, like it's, again, I'm not, we're out here in the hinterlands in Memphis. I don't feel bad for the people in Washington, D.C. and our nation's capital. But that was a great franchise. And to me, that's a fun story.
I completely agree. And, you know, people thought I was crazy when I said this offseason. You know, every year we have that team that goes from worst to first, right?
Right.
Every year it seems like we have one. And people said, well, who do you think is going to be this year? And I said, well, I think the Commanders actually have a decent shot at it, because the Cowboys aren't winning, because no one's ever repeated in that division for 20 years. It just doesn't happen. It's the longest stretch of no one repeating currently in the NFL. And there's something not right in Philadelphia. We've seen issues with Nick Sirianni and his head coach, I mean, and his cornerback and all these kind of things, and the Giants are just patently awful. I saw Jaden Daniels when he was in college at Arizona State, when he was being coached by my good friend Herm Edwards before he got to LSU, where he won his Heisman Trophy. I knew that he had the potential to be really good, and I love that Dan Quinn stayed a couple extra years in Dallas when he had opportunities to be a head coach. He's like, no, I'm returning to my coaching roots. I need to sort of ground myself. And not a lot of coaches will do that. The same reason Ben Johnson decided to stay as the offensive coordinator in Detroit. Like, he thinks he's a part of something special. And I like the players that Dan brought with him from Dallas. I think, you know, as long as the rib injury is not significant, I think the Commanders have an excellent opportunity now that the stench of Daniel Snyder has completely been exhausted from that building. I think they have a real opportunity to be that team.
How many teams could win the Super Bowl? List them. How many can win the Super Bowl?
That's a great point. I'm going to say maybe four. Obviously, Kansas City. I think Baltimore can. I think that Detroit has that possibility. I'm not burying the Bengals yet either. I mean, there's only one quarterback in the NFL that's still playing that can claim he's led his team to a win over the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. That's Joe Burrow. Patrick Mahomes, as the Chiefs starter, the Chiefs are 15-3 in the postseason. 15-3! And two of those losses were to a guy who's the lead broadcaster for Fox and a 5% owner of the Raiders now, in Tom Brady. I am not burying the Bengals until they are dead and buried.
You are implicitly burying my beloved Buffalo Bills. It is interesting. Sean McDermott and I mean, Josh gets all kinds.
That's the reason.
Josh gets all kinds of credit. But here's my question, though. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, he's had the advantage of doing it with Josh Allen. Of course, Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen before they created or drafted Josh Allen. Here's my question. They inherited a wreck of a franchise that hadn't been to the playoffs in forever. And they have, in fact, since they've arrived there, they've had more success than the Ravens. I mean, since Lamar and the Ravens in the playoffs, certainly. And
that's correct.
And nobody, like, it's this year, everyone was I'm not interested. I'm over it. Josh has not thrown an interception this year. Truth of the matter is, he will tell you he has thrown multiple interceptions. They just haven't caught him. You're that down on Sean McDermott. Don't you give him credit for creating a team that is good every single year, despite the whatever injuries there are on defense?
Yes, and then you also take away credit for the loss in Houston, where inexplicably threw it three times inside his own 5-yard line in a tie game when you had a quarterback that was 9-for-30 in that contest. What the hell was that? And then you have the fake punt in the divisional game against the Chiefs last season that if Mecole Hardman doesn't fumble it out of the end zone, Chiefs probably win that game by 10 points. And then you have the 13-second disaster a few years ago in the 2021 divisional game when all you had to do was pooch kick the thing and you win the game. So, yeah, I have real concerns about Sean McDermott knowing what it does and knowing what he needs to do to win a frickin' football game in the postseason against a team like Kansas City.
Trey,
absolutely.
We don't mention the 13 seconds on this show. The 13 seconds that has gone into a box.
You didn't give me the memo.
It's Trey Wingo.
We can't mention the Music City Miracle.
Music City Miracle. That was a forward lateral. Every Monday and Thursday night, 5 to 6 p.m., it is pregame power up. Thanks, Trey. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Jeff. Take care.
Good to talk to you. Man, just comes in here, no respect whatsoever, and savages on my home court, Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills. Truth of the matter is, Bills fans feel that same way about him. It is an interesting thing, though. Like, what's interesting is, what has Mike Tomlin done lately? You know, what has John Harbaugh done lately?
Like,
With Lamar.
My first thought is Sean McDermott's kind of in the same spot that John Harbaugh was until he got the title.
That's the thing. Once you get that,
it kind of shows that. I don't know. I always go back and forth. Like, I hate quote unquote ring culture, but I also believe winning is what matters.
Yeah, and so it's an interesting thing. You know, it's what Jim Harbaugh was at Michigan.
For sure.
Jim Harbaugh at Michigan was, until he had the year when we completely changed the narrative about him, that's what he was. We got this Boston Celtics defending champion with a coach who was dismissed as a moron.
Yes.
You know, like, and then they win the title. Is Joe Mazzulla less of a impediment to the, anymore? Like, if he can win a title, Can't Sean McDermott win a title?
Yes, if there's more than 13 seconds left, or fewer than 13 seconds left.
Anyway, what do you think?
But I do think you raise an interesting question. Obviously, football, and particularly the NFL, but I think college is going to start to become the same way in time. You are judged so much on essentially three games, four games, you know, how many ever you end up playing in the postseason. And all of those are against the best teams. And for the most part, let's see, the Bills' playoff losses under McDermott, was it 3 points to the Texans, right?
Yeah.
Overtime to the Chiefs. The only one that was not close was
Texans
the Bengals
game. They had a big lead. You can make an argument they shouldn't have lost that game.
But the only one where they actually got like soundly beaten was the Bengals game, right? Am I missing one? I guess they had the Chiefs game. They had that Chiefs NFC COVID game that was like kind of fake close for a little bit. But why do we? It does feel like he does not get credit for them being consistently good. And is it just because we've seen playoff blunders?
We don't give. Yeah, I think that's right. I think we see.
But Andy Reid had playoff blunders too, and he didn't. He never had the same reputation. Like Andy had plenty of playoff blunders.
Let me ask
like
you know clock who else, management. You know who else doesn't get credit for being consistently good? Jerry Jones.
Yeah, they ride the waves though.
That team is not. Have they been awful?
Yeah,
not much. Look up their last 15 years. Like, even after they had...
I'm dismissing the Dak injury year, because that doesn't count.
Yeah, right. So give me the Cowboys last... It is interesting. He gets a lot of crap, and I think deservedly so. He obviously has an ego that gets in the way and all that stuff, but...
All right, so you make a sound point. 12-5, lost in the wild card game.
This is going backwards? This is starting
last
year?
Starting last
year.
Season. Uh-huh. They're 3-3 right now.
Yeah.
12-5 lost in the wild card round. 12-5 lost in the divisional round. They beat the Bucs, lost to the Niners, I believe. 12-5 lost in the wild card game. I believe that was Niners. 6-10 in the COVID year. I believe that's Dak's injury. Yeah, because Andy Dalton was their leading passer. 8-8 missed the playoffs. 10-6. Lost in the divisional round. 9-7 missed the playoffs. 13-3 lost in the divisional round. 4-12.
Okay.
12-4. 8-8. 8-8. 8-8. 6-10.
How many years back? Forget. Leave off the last 6-10. How many years has that gotten us? How many years back is that? Is leave off the last 6-10. So there's
5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Going back to 2014, they went 12-4. And they had three straight 8-8s before that.
But no. Basically, in the last 15 years, they've had one losing year that wasn't the Dak year with Dak out.
Correct. And they've only missed the playoffs 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
And that's with him as the lead executive.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, being Dallas in the NFL is not the advantage that being the Lakers or the Knicks in the NBA is. You know what I mean? It's all, there's a salary cap. Everyone can only spend the same amount of money. And
allegedly.
Allegedly. Everyone can spend the same amount of money. And the TV money, the national TV money anyway, is shared equally.
Yes.
There's just not the disparity of ability to win that there is in a lot of sports. If there were, the Giants wouldn't be the Giants, and the Jets wouldn't be the Jets.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And yet there they are. They're good every year. They're respectable every year. They're enough to frustrate you at least every year. And when you're good every year, you're not drafting high.
Yes.
You know, it's not. They're not drafting 1, 2, and 3 ever.
Well, it's
ever.
Like, I don't believe in Dak as an elite quarterback.
Steve White would, by the way, would be in here just throttling me if I was saying good things about Jerry Jones. So
yeah,
my apology to the memory of Steve White. You were
commending Jerry the executive, and I do think that you're correct in the sense that he does not get enough credit for being pretty good with talent and talent evaluation.
Right. In terms of how he pays it,
right.
When he pays it, how he manages it, how the culture in the locker room is built and how it's created around him, the diversions, the coaching decisions, whatever, I think all very arguable. But there you go. All right. Chris Harrington has a piece up at the Daily Memphian. I haven't read it yet. It's about the new NBA season. We got the NBA starting tonight. We'll talk about that with Chris Harrington when we return. Did you have anything else to say about last night's tilts? Because we've got Fishman after that, so we don't have a lot more time to talk about last night's tilts. Obviously, the Derrick Henry thing is ridiculous. The idea that he is as good as he is, and that's the way he runs at that size. He was supposed to slow down at 27, 28.
Jeff, you take out the 81-yard run. He only had 88 yards on 14 carries.
Crazy.
Didn't score.
Oh, he did. The 13-yard touchdown pass.
Oh, yeah, it was a pass.
Yes,
I was looking
yes,
at
he did. And the and then Lamar with a bunch of TDs. Lamar could very well win yet another. He could three-peat as MVP and do nothing in the playoffs.
I do wonder.
They get cheap, though.
I do wonder, because this is what's interesting to me. Normally it's like, all right, whoever the quarterback of the team with the best record, that usually wins the MVP. But we are in a situation where Mahomes has been so meh by his own standards
in the playoffs
that it has opened up the race.
But it's got to be really close. It's got to be really close. You know who has an argument?
Goff.
That's who I was going to say.
My boy.
Jared Goff has an argument.
And he's still got more dome games coming up.
Jared Goff has an argument. Josh has some argument. I mean, he's obviously incredibly valuable, but he doesn't have the weapons. He's not putting up massive numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, if Cooper really does come on strong,
they could put up some bigger numbers going forward.
Last night, I mean, Baker throws two terrible picks, and you cannot make
two
mistakes like
terrible
that.
Picks. It felt like the Mike Evans injury sort of was things unraveled badly.
And then it
for
didn't
them.
Help when you get Godwin hurt, because now
that,
it's like...
And now Godwin's out. That was gruesome looking.
And then I think we just have to give a quick shout out to some remarkably efficient field goal drives by Herbert last night.
Listen, that... The pass to Jalen Reagor that Reagor then fumbled at the two?
Mm-hmm.
That could have been a touchdown drive.
Yeah.
Looked like a touchdown
but
drive.
What happens when you should throw the ball to Jalen Reagor?
Should have been a touchdown
Bad
drive.
Bad things happen when you
should
throw it to Jalen Reagor.
Drive. So there you go.
Harbaugh, right. I thought, was going to murder the officials.
Yeah. Let's see. This would be a great time to get to. Every dime's a great time to get to O'Call. I was literally just thinking about it. I need. It comes a time when you need to replenish some stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Your shirts that you previously loved are getting just a little dingy. And having transformed my image when I want to look good. I was at the Hall of Fame thing the other day. I was emceeing that Hall of Fame ceremony, and it's amazing how I went through life once upon a time. Now I walk in there, the clothes are beautiful. You can't lose, because the clothes are beautiful and the people know more about clothes than anyone in the universe, as far as I can tell. And right now, great time to get in there and get some outerwear for the cooler weather. I broke out my Steo jacket. Steo is a niche company from out west. They have one outlet in Memphis. It's Steo. The stuff is fantastic. And of course, you Tennessee fans think you're headed to the playoff now, probably are. You'll want to get your hoodies, your quarter zips in official Tennessee colors. Ole Miss not out of it. Still can get your quarter zips and hoodies in Ole Miss colors. Memphis, we talked yesterday about how Memphis, they still got a chance. You're telling me there's a chance. They've got hoodies and quarter zips in official colors of your favorite collegiate team. So this would be a perfect time to get in. Can't miss it, O'Call. The clothes are beautiful, and the people are the secret sauce. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.